As always, when we get up here, we realize that this is His Word, His will, and His way, and we need His help every step of the way. So I'm asking for your prayers as we look into the Word. I have it's a song, and it's a verse of song, and some people know it, maybe some people don't. But it's going to help me preach this message this morning. Yeah. The message is entitled, Run for Your Life. Yeah. The first verse goes, once there was a dog who chased a rabbit. The faster ran the dog, so ran the hare. Yes. The rabbit ran so fine that he left the dog behind, and soon he had escaped into his lair. They asked the wise old man who had been watching, can you explain this interesting sight? The dog ran faster still, but it was only for his will. The rabbit, his meal, the rabbit, he was running for his life. The chorus says, you better run for your life, my brother. That's sisters too. You better watch and pray and keep your soul on guard. Don't you know that the devil is on your trail and he will drag you down to hell? You better run into the safety of the Lord. May God help us this morning. I want you to, if you don't get anything else out of what we say this morning, I want you to remember the words of that song. Run for your life. Run for your life. All right? The enemy is after you. The world is after you. Self is in the way. Sin is after you. And so you're going to have to do some running. You might not be able to run in the flesh anymore. You might not be strong enough to run like you used to, but in the spirit, run for your life. May God help us. All of us can run like God wants us to. All of us can run that we might obtain. All of us can get to the place where we're in a place of safety. We're in a place of shelter. May God help us this morning. God is wanting for you and I to run for our very lives. May God help us this morning. Preached a message a little while back about running our own race. This message is very similar to that, but it's a little bit different because we're talking about the matter of our souls. We're talking about eternal destination. We're talking about escaping the enemy of our souls. May God help us this morning. I want you to pray with us this morning because the enemy wants to oppose us. He wants to discourage us, wants us to think that nobody need what we have, but by the grace of God, we're going to give what God has given us, and may He bless it, and may He prosper it by the grace and help of God. Once there was a dog who chased a rabbit. Somebody go with me, 1 Peter 5:8. I want you to be thinking about the word devour. 1 Peter 5:8, if you know that in your mind, you can already be thinking about it. But I want you to think about the word devour and what it means. We're going to talk about it. If you beat me there, go ahead and read it. We're reading down in 1 Peter 5:8. What does it say? Sober. Want you to be sober. Want you to be vigilant. You have an adversary. You have an opponent. As a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The scripture says here, 1 Peter 5:8, to be sober, be aware of what's going on. Be in the moment of what's happening in your own life. Be vigilant, be watching, and be paying attention. Because it identifies the enemy of all souls as an adversary. An adversary is an opponent. An adversary is somebody that is against you. And so he's an enemy. We identify the enemy as the enemy of not only your soul, but the enemy of all souls. The adversary, the devil, it says here that he walketh about like a roaring lion, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may. may devour. I looked up that word devour. That means to swallow up hungrily, to eat voraciously, to tear to pieces, to utterly and completely destroy. This is what we're talking about this morning when we're talking about running for our lives. That enemy that's chasing us, that's what he wants to do to us. And so we can see that this is no plaything. This is no game. You and I have to get in the moment. We have to understand the seriousness and the severity of what is happening. We've got someone that's chasing us, wanting to do us in, but we can, by the grace and help of God, be successful in outrunning the enemy. May God help us this morning. May he stand by and be with us. I thought about sometimes we want to fight when we should run, and sometimes we want to run when we should fight. What we're talking about here this morning is something that happened to me. One time I was, when I was a younger guy in high school, I thought I was pretty cool. And I know, imagine that. And I really didn't have a concept about things. I talked about this before. There were some guys I was playing basketball with, and I got into an argument with them or something like that, and I didn't know, but I knew some of them were football players, but I didn't know they all were most of them were football players. And they always lost. They were not good. And so I was just stating the facts. Not a smart idea. Let me tell you, read the room. But I didn't know. So we got into an argument. I said, man, y'all keep losing because y'all sorry. Y'all just sorry. That's all. And nothing happened right there. Nothing happened. But what ended up happening was I was on my way to class a little later on in the day. And a flying fist came from out of nowhere and caught me in the chin. And then others began to jump on me. This happened. This is something I can tell you the name. The guy that hit me first was named Onar. His name is Onar. And he stopped. We ended up being friends later on. He socked me in the chin. But in that instance, I didn't have good sense. And so I didn't have good sense in what I said amongst that company. But I didn't have good sense because I was trying to fight back. I was outnumbered. Do you know that it don't make sense for you to be fighting when you're outnumbered? Sometimes, I'm saying this for a reason now. Put that in the spiritual. Do you know sometimes something is bigger than you and you know going in that it's bigger and it's greater than you, and at this time, at this situation, we're going to run this time because we're not going to win this fight. The Bible says that we have to flee certain things. Lust is one of those things where you get in a place where you have some desires and those desires would overtake you, and sometimes you got to run. May the Lord help us. But when you're not wise and you're not sober and you're not vigilant, you're not paying attention to what's going on, then you'll be staying trying to fight the fight that the Lord is telling you you need to run for your life. I want to encourage you this morning. There are scriptures that go along with that, but I want to encourage you. Sometimes you have to fight and sometimes you have to run. Know when to fight and know when to run. When you're running for your life, when you're going to lose the fight anyway, like I ended up, I know it's just surprising, but I did not win that fight. I know that's surprising. I lost that fight. They knew I was there, though. Be honest with you. They knew I was there. Yeah. But I didn't win that fight. It would have been smarter for me to run. May God help us this morning. Sometime we need to run, and we need to run quickly and get to a place where you have the advantage. Let me say that one more time. Sometimes it's wiser to run and get to a place where you have the advantage. All right? May the Lord help us this morning. God wants us to be wise, and he wants us to know when to fight and know when to run. All right, and it says here, once there was a dog who chased a rabbit, the faster ran the dog, so ran the hare. A rabbit ran so fine, he left the dog behind. Soon he had escaped into his lair. What's happening here is the dog and the rabbit is representing the enemy of all souls and ourselves. We would be the rabbit And we are to run until we get to a place of safety. The Lord told me that all we have to do is stay one step ahead of the devil. He told me that. He said you have to stay one step ahead of the devil until you get to a place of safety. If you'll go with me, sometimes I look at things on YouTube or whatever that I'm watching, documentaries, and they'll show a predator and its prey. And sometimes them prey, that prey, they'll run and take off and zigzag and do all kind of stuff. And then they'll get to a place where, listen, they're in a place of safety, but the enemy is still there. They'll find a rock in between a rock where that big predator can't get in there, and they're in that place of safety. I want to encourage you this morning to get to that kind of place in the Lord when the enemy is after you. May God help us. The faster ran the dog, so ran the hare. Sometimes we think it's a game. And the Lord was talking to me about this. Sometimes a dog will chase something and they really don't want to catch it. They just want to chase it. They're just having fun. They don't really want to kill it. But unlike that dog, the enemy always has deadly intent when it comes to you and I. All right? And so what he'll do is, and I want you to dial in and lock in. We're going to read a scripture on down in John 10 and 10. Everybody knows that scripture. But what he'll do is he'll make you think that it's a game. You see? I'm going to chase you around, and I'm going to kind of almost try to catch you. I'm going to try to get close. And so if you think it's a game, then you don't realize how serious it is what's happening until he catch you and do something to you. May God help us. What's John 10 and 10 say? The thief being the enemy of all souls, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and might have life more abundantly. And so what's happening is we have to remember that the enemy always has deadly intent. Sometimes those dogs, do you know that a dog is really basically a domesticated wolf? Did y'all know that? And did you know that they have deadly instincts too? And sometimes a dog will take off chasing something and really didn't want to kill it, but their instincts will take over and they'll end up killing that thing and not even want to. Did y'all know that? May the Lord help us. It's not a game. The enemy is not playing with you and with me. And so we have to get our minds out of that stuff just because the enemy had it all at once taken you and destroyed you doesn't mean that that's not what he wants to do. He wants to destroy you. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And so what we have to do is we have to understand that even though I've been getting away with it for some time, now is the time for me to get serious about living for the Lord. I know the Lord's talking to somebody this morning. It's time to get serious. It's time to stop playing around. It's been a game thus far, but it won't be if he can really get to you. The prayers of the saints have followed you. God's mercy and love have kept you from being utterly and completely destroyed. May God help us this morning. Run for your life. May God help us this morning. I want to go to Judges and talk about Samson for a brief moment. Sometimes we think that we are in a position of strength. Judges 16 and 6, go ahead and beat me there. If you beat me there, go ahead and read it. What Samson did and what many of us do is, because things are not hurting us right now, because we are not in a bad position, because things seem to be going okay, even though we know that the enemy is after us, we don't have that sense of urgency that we need to have. All right, and so what we'll do is we'll play with the enemy of our souls. I want to encourage you this morning that is a grave, pun intended, mistake. Yes. That is a grave mistake. Do not play with the enemy of our souls. If you have that, go ahead and read it. Judges 16, verse number 6.
And Delilah said to Samson.
All right, Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, where your strength lies. All right.
And Samson said unto her,
Aye. Aye. Lord, help us. All right, pause there for me, please. That's all I need there. All right. So what happened was, is Samson the strongest man that ever lived? Am I correct? And he wasn't worried about it. See, this is what happens to us. The enemy is smarter than you and me. And I know that's hard to believe, but he is smarter than you and me. All right. And what happens is he sent an emissary. He sent a representative of evil, not himself. And that's what the enemy does. And so what we do is we do like Samson. If she does cut my hair off, I'm going to beat her up anyway if she attacks me. You understand? We have in our minds that it doesn't matter. What I can do is, and so he kept playing with the enemy. In this situation, he was playing with the enemy is what was happening. The enemy sent that Philistine woman. He sent Delilah, and Samson knew that he was never to cut his hair, and nobody else got to cut his hair. And so she would come, and she would ask him periodically, "What is your secret of your great strength?" Yes. And so what ended up happening was, because he didn't see her as a threat, you see, he didn't see her as a threat. That's not the threat, people of God. That's not the threat. The enemy always sends something that is non-threatening. A little of this, a little of that, a little of uncleanness, a little unrighteousness, a little of the world. Not a big deal. A little disobedience. God understands, does he not? That's what he tells us. But that's not the thing that's going to get you. It's what's coming behind that thing. The whole of the Philistine army was behind Delilah. You see? And so what ends up happening is we get involved with that thing, and then we are slowed down. We are hindered in the way. And then just like Samson, ultimately we are overtaken. May God help us. We need to do inventory on ourselves and understand, Lord, what is it that's trying to get me? And Lord, help me to stand strongly against that thing and to run for my life. Run away from what would harm me. Run towards what will help me. May God help us this morning. All right. It's not Delilah that's going to get you. It's not that little, small, little baby thing that seemed like you can dibble and dabble and you'll be okay. You will for a while. That's the way it works. You want to catch a fish, you put the bait on the hook and throw it in the water. When the fish start nibbling on it, do not pull that line yet. Don't pull the line when they nibble on it. Wait till it get it in his mouth. Pull it just a little bit. And then what he'll do is he'll chomp on that thing all the way down. Then you got him. You yank that thing up and you pull for all your might. And so that's how the enemy does. He put a little bait on that hook, and you just keep on nibbling. And then he pull that bait away a little bit, and you chomp down, and that hook is all the way in your mouth here. You're in trouble now. You're in trouble. And then we want to, and listen, you better call on the Lord. You better call on the Lord. But what I'm saying is, stop nibbling on the bait. Huh? Stop nibbling on the bait. Get away from the bait. Don't fool with the bait. Leave that bait alone, because it's not the bait that's going to get you. The bait tastes good. It's the hook that's going to cost you. May God help us. And then who's behind the hook? May God help us this morning. All right. The rabbit ran so fine that he left the dog behind. All we have to do is do what? One step ahead of that enemy. Am I right? What does behind mean if we're not clear? If I'm here, what would be behind me? Which direction? That way, right? What if I'm facing this way? What's behind me? That way, right? And so no matter which direction you're pointed in, as long as you're pointed towards God, it should be that the enemy should be behind you and God before you, your eyes on him. All right? Y'all remember that song we used to sing? You can't hang on behind. Roll the gospel chariot along. Amen. Do it like that. May the Lord help us this morning. And so the enemy wants to impede our growth and development. He wants to stop us, but we are to forge ahead. We are to press on by the grace and help of God. Philippians 3 and 13, what's that say? I'm not going to hold you too long. I've said that before. Unless God give me some more stuff, I ain't going to hold you too long, because you don't need a whole lot of information when it comes to this. All we got to do is put it out there, run away from the devil and towards God. You'll be doing some good. Philippians 3 and 13, you beat me there. Read on down to verse number 14, please. All right. All right. All right. All right. Okay. All right. So it says here, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. There's a key point here. This is a key point. Sometimes you've been saved for a while and you get into a kind of a comfortable position. I want to warn you away from comfortableness. You still have an enemy chasing you. Even though you haven't lost a battle in a while, even though you've had a lot of victories and a lot of spiritual success, you still have an enemy that has not quit on trying to get you. And so what he's saying is, he says, brothers, I don't count myself to have apprehended. All right. I don't have what I need. When I get to heaven, when I have done the complete and entire will of God, that's when I will have done what God has wanted me to do. Until then I'm staying in fight mode and I'm staying in running mode by the help of the Lord. He says, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget the things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark. And so we can't, we talked about this before. You can't look behind you and run to where you're trying to go. So forget those things that are there behind you for a reason. Leave them back there and get your eyes on Jesus and continue. It says press. Press means despite obstacle, despite difficulty, despite situation, circumstance, hard things that come against you. Press against those things. The Bible says strive to enter in at the straight gate. And so it's going to take some press. It's going to take some fighting. It's going to take some effort to keep the enemy behind you and God in front of you. But you can, by the grace of God, do all of those things and more. Maybe it would help us this morning. God's able to do it for us. May God help us this morning. We're going to fall and we're going to stumble if we're looking behind us. We're going to get in a place where we're going to be vulnerable to the enemy. If something's chasing you and you fall and you stumble, are you in a vulnerable position?
Yes.
You are. All right? And so if you're looking behind you, you may not see what's in front of you. And so what he'll do, just like that lion illustration, lions like to hunt in packs. All right? So you have at least 2 to 3 lions. You got one chasing you, making a lot of noise and looking real scary. But you got 2 up ahead of you, and they want to run you into one of the other lions. You understand? May the Lord help us. We got to be aware of what's going on and be in the moment. May God help us. May he be with us and encourage and bless our hearts. What song number 261 say? Verse number 6, what does it say? Press on. Is that press on? Press on to what's before us. Forgetting all the past. The light of heaven so glorious eternally shall last. I want to encourage you to press on by the grace and help of God this morning. Press forward means to move or to advance with determination, with urgency, in spite of obstacles, in spite of adversity. Lord, help us to press on. All right, and it says here, the rabbit ran so fine that he left the dog behind. Soon he had escaped into his lair. Escape is the word we want to highlight in these readings right here. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And the second scripture will be Hebrews 2, 1 through 3. There's a way to escape. There will always be a way to escape. What we have to do is to have our minds on God, and we have to be looking for that escape route. You and I will never be in a situation where there isn't an escape route, even if we got ourselves in that situation. God will always provide a way of escape. But what you want to do is, number one, don't get yourself in something that you have to escape in the first place. Follow the voice of the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And so if you've gotten yourself in that situation, then God never intended for you to be in that situation. He still wants you to live right. He still wants you to be saved. But you've been disobedient. You need to ask God to forgive you for being in the situation in the first place. And then when he provides that way of escape, take it. Take it. Recognize it, take it, and don't be found in that position again by the help of the Lord. May the Lord help all of us in this situation. Been there and have done that. Thank God for his grace and mercy. What does it say? 1 Corinthians 10 and 13.
There has no temptation
taking you, such as is common to man. God is faithful. He's not going to suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. May the Lord help us. And so he's not going to over-tempt us, and he's going to make a way for escape. There is nothing. I've heard people say this before. I've had this in my mind before. Well, I couldn't be successful in that situation. Not so. Not according to the word of God. May the Lord help us. Sometime that escape route is before you get in the situation. All right? Don't get in the situation, because you ain't going to do good in the situation. And God is that way of escape. He's letting you know, don't go there. Don't do that. If you do, sooner or later, you're going to have a failure. All right? But sometime it's in that situation, as we're running for our lives, and we're with the enemy in some kind of way, he's gotten to us and he's chasing us and he's trying to get us. God is going to provide a way to escape in the moment. He's going to provide that for us. All right? If he's got to open the Red Sea, he'll do it. You with me? Huh? What happened? They got scared, didn't they? They gonna get us. We need to go back. We'll go back and eat leeks and garlics. Huh? You don't have to go back and eat the leeks and the garlics. You can keep running for your life. God's gonna open the Red Sea for you. You're gonna go through on dry land. The enemy is going to be drowned by the grace and help of God. Run for your life. God's got you. He's gonna make a way of escape. May God help us this morning. He escaped into his lair. What does it say, Hebrews 2 and 1 on down through verse number 3? Again, keep praying for us. I'm almost done here. I want you to get a hold of the concept that we are to run for our very lives. It is more than important. It is more than necessary. It is needed. We have to do it if we're going to be successful as people of God. May God help us this morning. Hebrews 2, verse number 1 on down through 3, what does it say?
Therefore, we ought to give them more earnest heed.
More earnest heed. Things which we have heard.
Anytime
we let them slip.
If the
word spoken by the angel is steadfast. Every transgression, disobedient. All right.
How shall we escape
if we neglect so great salvation?
At the
first began to be spoken by the Lord, confirmed unto us by them that heard him. All right. So verse number 1, we're looking at what's happening here. It says, don't just be earnest in the beginning. Earnest means to be sincere, mean to be serious about living for the Lord. Mean to be keep that same energy, like they say in this today's vernacular. What you got saved with, that zeal you got saved with, that desire to please God, that desire to get away from the enemy and be all that God would have for you to be, keep that. All right, keep that mindset, keep that same determination, and go on for the Lord. It says, give the more earnest thing. So the things that you're running from, you're still running from. All right? And you're still running towards God. So give the more earnest heed. Don't forget about what God has delivered you from. Don't forget about what God has helped you with. All right? And build on that by the grace and help of God. And so it says here, give the more earnest heed, lest at any time we should let them slip. It's easy to slip up if we're not careful. It's easy to slow down and let the enemy overtake us. It's easy to do that because the enemy has many, many traps, laid for you and for me. The enemy knows you better than you know you. All right? And so we have to understand we've got to stay in a place where we are determined to please God. With everything I have, I want to please Him. With everything He give me, I want to please Him. And let the praise, let the glory and honor, let it go where it belongs. Not to me, but to Him. May God help us, because I can't do anything with Him, but I can do all things through Him. May the Lord help us this morning. So it says there in verse number 2, it says, if the word spoken by the angel was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. What they're basically saying is the same thing is said in another set. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's what that verse is talking about. What God said is true. What He said He meant. If you do right, then you have a reward as a righteous man, woman, child of God. If you do wrong and you die in your sins, you can't go where He is. That's what that verse is talking about. All right? And so we have to remember that and have our minds locked into that and our hearts locked in to that reality. It says in verse number 3, and this is the verse I wanted to get to, how are we going to escape if we neglect so great salvation? Our deliverance, our escape is salvation. All right? So if you don't have salvation today, if you're not living for the Lord today, you need salvation. If you want to see Jesus for yourself one of these days, you've got to have salvation. You can't escape without it. All right? And so I want you to be clear about that. The world will tell you something different. There's another way. You can do it this way. You can do it that way. The Bible says there's only one narrow way. It says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. All right? And so we can't go any other way. We'll have to go God's way. And God's way is through His salvation. May God help us this morning. There's no point in running for your life if you don't have His salvation. You need to run to the Lord, get salvation, and then begin to run for your life. All right? Some people will try to, the devil will try to get you to start fixing things before you really have salvation. I tell you what you do, you flip that around. Get salvation and see if the Lord can help you fix those things. All right? That's the way it works. There is an order to how things work. Because when you're always fixing things and working on things, and one day I'm going to get saved, you'll be doing that when you leave here. That's a solemn thought. I know it's scary, but it's the truth. Would you rather be afraid and saved or unafraid and lost? May God help us. It's not my aim to make you afraid, but it is my aim to help you understand what really is. May the Lord help us this morning. Almost finished here. I appreciate your time and your attention. Rabbit ran so fine he left the dog behind. Soon he had escaped into his lair. All right. They asked a wise old man who had been watching, you exclaim this interesting sight. Dog ran faster still. So the dog was running for he wanted to devour. It was only for his will, but the rabbit, he was running for his life. I want you to go with me. I got a little bit more. I appreciate your time and your attention and your prayers for me. Somebody go with me to Philippians 2:12. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Philippians 2:12, and then I need Hebrews 12:1. What's Philippians 2:12 say?
Therefore, my beloved,
yes,
that ye have always obeyed,
all right,
not in my presence only,
all right,
but now much more in my absence,
all right,
work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
All right, so some of us have been waylaid. We've been caught. We were running for our lives, but some kind of way, something has hindered us in the way. All right, I'm encouraging you this morning, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah. Take that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I was doing good, but some kind of way I got off. I'd have messed up, Lord, and I'm asking you, Lord, look down upon me. Have mercy upon me. Forgive me. Help me, Lord, to begin again, Lord. Yeah. I still want to go to heaven. I still want to be pleasing unto you. And I've messed up. I've failed. The enemy caught me and I messed up. Have mercy on me, Lord. God will do that with us and he'll do that for us. It's his intent. It's his desire. What's Hebrews 12 and 1 say?
Wherefore,
all right. Yes. All right. All right. Yes. Yes. All right. Do you think the rabbit was looking for something to pick up and carry into this place of safety? Do you think he was looking back and said, man, I dropped my nuts back there. Whatever rabbits eat, I don't know what they eat, but whatever they eat, do you think he was worried about that? No, he's trying to get to a place of safety, right? And so what we got to do is, I want you to think about this, is I want you to get light. If you're going to run, you need to get rid of anything that's going to hinder you from doing that. You don't know how long or how far you got to run. You don't know how fast you got to run. All right. You don't know what obstacles you may have to go over or under or around. You don't know that. Only God knows that. And so what you do know is that you're going to have to run. You do know that the enemy is behind you. You do know that the Lord is before you. And you know you have to get to your goal. And so it is wise to start taking things off and getting as light as you can and getting rid of everything that would hinder you from being a successful child of God and running this race. All right, it says, lay aside every weight and sin. And I'm going to pause there for a moment. We know that we can't have any sin. So if you got sin in your life, you got to get rid of it. Okay, you got to get rid of sin. Is that all right? Is that something that we don't know? We know that, right? So if there's sin in our life, Lord help me, I don't want to be sinning. That's going to hinder me from being what you would have me to be. That's going to hinder me from running this race. And then it says every weight. And so there's a separation there. There's a difference that's being made here. Sometimes things are not sin, but they can cause us to be deterred from the way. They can cause us to be hindered in the way. They can weigh us down. These are things that we're talking about. It can be a mindset. It can be an ambition. It can be something as simple as myself. Let me think of myself. Sometimes I'm overly concerned about being in shape and all these types of things, and then my spiritual life will suffer. God, in his mercy and his grace, he'll come and tap me on the shoulder. That gym ain't going to get you to heaven, brother. It ain't. But this Bible will. Huh? That them knees will. Get down on them knees. That'll get you there. And so, Lord, help me to get my balance right. I'm not saying it's a sin to go to the gym. I'm not saying that. There's many things that we can do and spend our time with. But if it's something that's going to weigh me down, that's going to hinder me from being spiritually successful, then, Lord, identify it and help me, Lord, to submit to your will and get rid of it, or at least get it in its rightful place. May the Lord help us this morning. And so the last thing we want to read, and I want you to run for your life by the grace and help of God. I appreciate your time. Your attention is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7. I want you to think about running, not just running, but running for your very lives. You beat me there. Go ahead and read it for us, please. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse number 7. All right. All right. It says you was running good. You was running good. But what does it say after that? Who did hinder you? Who? And this is a very serious thing. This is a very serious thing. This is one of those things where the enemy uses, if don't nothing else work, he'll try to use this. Somebody that you love. Somebody that you care about. Somebody that you don't want to leave behind. Are you with me? Sometimes you got to leave them behind. You can pray for them. You're going to keep your brother's keeper mentality. But if they not going, you still got to go. You understand? And we can't be hanging. We can't be hanging back here and the devil get us both. What kind of sense do that make? But if I'll keep running, maybe they'll see me running and say, I need to start running too. There is an enemy that's chasing me. There is something that's out to get me. But what will happen is the enemy will use somebody close to us, something that we don't want to give up. Somebody, I'm talking about somebody. The Bible talks if you love your wife more than you love God, you love your husband, your children, anything that you put before God, that's a problem. You can't have both. And I know that that's close. So my encouragement would be there is, by the help of the Lord, you keep running. You keep running. If my mother had went with that, then she'd have been lost. Because my daddy was hanging behind. But she kept running and made it in. And then he started running. He said, wait a minute, you ain't going to leave me off. I got to go too. And then he made it in. And I'm trying to follow him. So I want you to run for your life by the grace and help of God. I've got to do it too. Y'all think that the minister, well, he's a minister and a preacher, so he ain't got to do no running. The opposite is true. The opposite is true. If you already didn't know, that's why we ask you to pray for us all the time, and we mean that. The opposite is true. And so I got to run for my life. I want you to, by the help of the Lord, both of us, by the help of the Lord, you and I, run for your life. Realize the seriousness of what's happening here. You have an adversary, an enemy that wants to completely and utterly destroy you. Sometimes he'll chase you and chase you and chase you till you get tired and then get you. We can't afford to get tired. He giveth power to what? The faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. We've got all the strength that we possibly could ever need. We can keep running by the grace and help of God. You pray for me, my golden name, make heaven my home. I want you to make it too. You may as well. You're already halfway there. By the grace and help of God, give your heart to the Lord. You're halfway there. If you haven't given your heart to the Lord, I want to encourage you to give your heart to the Lord. And once you've done that, I want you to start running by the grace and help of God. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. You pray for me, I will be praying for you. Amen.